We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hills, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
The baseball season is go, go, go. It's nonstop, relentless for every night, six straight months, and then hopefully another month in October. You also have work, friends, family, and a million other things going on. That's when you reach for a Coors Light. It's made to chill. There's only one beer out there that's literally made to chill, and that's Coors Light. I mean, the mountains on the bottles and cans even turn blue when your beer is cold. Is there anything better than opening up your refrigerator after a long day, seeing that icy cold Coors Light can or bottle in your fridge? The answer is no, there's nothing better. That's why when it's time to chill, you choose Coors Light. It's mountain cold refreshment made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So that's why when you want to hit reset, reach for a beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. And as always, celebrate.
We are breaking down all aspects of Yankee baseball. This is the Bronx Pinstripe Show with your host, Andrew Rotondi and Scott Reinen. Let's go.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Bronx Pinstripe Show, episode 541, a much-needed and necessary sweep of the crap-bag Detroit Tigers. Scott, on our Friday Fives episode, I said it's unacceptable anything less than a sweep, because that's actually an insult to a AAA team, never mind a major league team, how bad the Detroit Tigers are.
Detroit Tigers are a bad team. I'm really glad we ran into them when we ran into them, because it worked out really nicely. It seemed like everybody is getting a little bit of, this is kind of how we drew it up, I think, right?
Go under 500 in April and get a crappy team in there before Houston?
Throwing your crappy team in before Houston. Yes, absolutely. Okay. You got to get your mojo back at the stadium against a crappy team. I mean, for all intents and purposes, the Yankees were, I need to take this gum out of my mouth. Hang on. I'm like, this is impossible. Yeah, I tried. It didn't work.
I got very excited
because I found some Big League Chew.
I was wondering what that was. Yeah. What, grape? Ugh.
The grape Big League Chew is the tits. It's the best one by far.
It's medicine. It's got to taste like medicine. Oh,
watermelon, so strawberry, grape is by far the worst flavor of everything.
All right, we'll put a Twitter poll out on this one. Big League Chew, what's your favorite flavor?
Can you only
lasts for like literally 3 minutes, maybe, but it's there for the first. It's so juicy and good.
Bob, put a Twitter poll out on @YankeesPodcast right now, and hopefully we'll get some results by the end of the show. Be like, what's your favorite flavor of Big League Chew? Do grape, watermelon,
original.
What's original? Just like gum flavor?
It's just regular. Yeah, don't put watermelon. Yeah.
Okay. Dude, come up with whatever four options are.
Yeah.
Grape's going to lose. But I was like, oh, this is ballsy of Scott. I'm doing my 3-2-1 countdown to get into the episode, and you shove some bubble gum in your mouth.
I got way too excited when I saw the Big League Chew, because I found it on Amazon and I bought a whole bunch of
it. It was probably from like 2003.
Anyway, what were we talking about?
Yes, we it was a good crappy Detroit Tigers.
It was a good thing to run into that team because they were able to work on shit. This is exactly what we've been talking about. They need to work on stuff. They got a nice practice at home in front of some fans. It was like going to watch a preseason football game, right? You get like about the same crowd. It's like not a full stand. That's kind of what it feels like. That's what it was. These guys were working on things. They were making good contact. They were scoring runs that were, other than the home run ball. It was fun to watch. It was actually fun to watch. And I put out of my mind that it was the Detroit Tigers and how bad they are. But that's fine. It doesn't really matter. They just needed to get that work in. They got some reps in, and it was good. And what I was saying, I remember exactly what I was saying. We were one ball that was, a little bit of a bad luck going over that fence from being away from this team taking 3 of 4 and then a sweep. When you're looking at that optically, that's just very different, right? In a split series and then a sweep. But I mean, that team is there. So we're seeing some good stuff right now. And I'm glad that these guys are finally taking their head out of their ass.
Yeah. I mean, despite the two ugly losses in Baltimore, the team's playing much, much better. You can say it's part of the competition. Baltimore's third worst offense in the league. Cleveland's second worst offense in the league. Detroit's worst offense in the league. So they kind of caught the right teams at the right time for the pitching to just get on a groove. And the starting pitching's been unbelievable. And Corey Kluber with the best start of his last 2+ years, probably since, 2018, I would say. Best start for Kluber. And how about that game time today? It was like the eighth inning at 2:50 in the afternoon. It was like, I think Cone said it's like watching baseball in the 1930s.
Yeah, no, it was pretty crazy because I was out doing some yard work and I was going to catch the game, a couple innings late. And when you guys were texting me, it was like the seventh inning. I was like, how in the hell did that happen? So I had to go back and rewatch things. But
both pitchers were just dealing. Like it was like every at bat was first pitch ground ball out, first pitch ground ball out, first pitch pop up. So it was just like super fast. Both pitchers were just on their game today.
Yeah. No, it was well needed, man. One of the things that, we talked about in the Friday Fives, but that we were looking forward to is if Corey Kluber can back up his last start, because, the start before was very good. And it was definitely, he got into the seventh inning. Like the guy was, looked more like what we hoped that he was going to be. And then sure as shit, he comes back out and does back it up. Both to Higgy does back it up though.
Yeah. I mean, at this point, we know Higgy's catching Garrett Cole every time he goes out there, and who's to argue with Garrett Cole's numbers? We'll talk about those in a second. It looks like Higgy's going to be the man for Kluber because he's had two really good outings the last two times out. They're talking about how Higgy's calling more changeups. They're just working in sync, and the Tigers swung and missed, 13 times against the changeup on Sunday from Kluber. And then I think so. That's 2 out of 5. And then I think you're going to see Higgy get another start in there as well most times through. So you're looking at 3 for Higgy, 2 for Gary Sanchez at this point.
We have a platoon on our hands. That's essentially.
Is that a platoon or is that a Higgy's the starter, Gary's a backup that plays slightly more than your average backup?
I think it's a platoon. I think isn't that kind of what a platoon is? The fact that they're playing a little bit more. Plus, Higgy's going to get cold probably soon. And Gary's going to go on, a 2-game tear. And then we're all going to be confused again. So
you want
who
some
knows?
Gary stats? Hold on.
Can we just call this a full-blown platoon, please, and put it to rest? Because that's right now what it is.
So Gary Sanchez, he played Thursday afternoon and Saturday. And after Thursday's loss, he said, I don't consider myself to be in a slump that people believe. And if you take out Gary's first 2 games of the year in which he hit home runs in, he said 66 plate appearances. He's batting 148. With a 303 on base and a 167 slugging, that's a 49 WRC plus. It's just awful. However, it's not the same. I'm watching these at bats and he's not hitting well. Like he's hitting 148. He's got a 49 WRC plus, but he does have a 300 on base percentage for batting 148. That's actually very good. So the quality of at bats is actually there. So he says he doesn't consider himself in a slump. My concern with Gary is that he just can't hit in today's game anymore because unless he hits the ball out of the park, he basically doesn't get a hit. And in the Verducci article, which we were potentially going to do like a deep dive episode on at this point, it's over a week old. I don't know that we'll do it. But there was one thing in this Verducci article, which he said ended, the shift ended Jay Bruce's career, RIP. But he had a stat in here. Worst BABIP, which is batting average on balls in play, with exit velocities of 100 plus miles an hour since 2015. So you hit it 100 miles an hour. That's a hard hit ball. You're expected to get a hit. The worst in baseball in that span is Gary Sanchez with a 392 batting average when he hits a missile.
So why do Gary we think that is? Is it because of the shift?
Yes. It's part very much the shift has killed Gary Sanchez because he pulls a lot of balls and he pulls a lot of ball line drives on the ground, balls on the ground, and he's so goddamn slow that he's not going to beat anything out. So yes, I'm concerned that Gary Sanchez has just like been completely neutralized in today's baseball, in today's type of defensive alignments, the way pitchers are pitching, everything. Like, we know the talent's still there. He can still hit the ball hard. He can still hit home runs. What, he hit 10 home runs, right, in a abbreviated season in which he got benched last year. That's like a 30 home run pace if he played the whole season.
Yeah.
Yeah, so the powers, it's not like he doesn't have power anymore, right? Like, he still has power.
Right. The power's there. There's no doubt the power's there, especially when he touches the, you know, the barrel of the bat. The ball
it's
goes
just,
a long
is
way.
Now, is today's baseball just neutralized Gary Sanchez? And it's like, we're never going to see, forget 2016. Like, that doesn't exist. Are we never going to see 2017 again? He was an all-star in 2017. I was hoping we could see 2017 again. And I don't think, maybe we just never will.
I mean, I still wanted to say, I think the time frame that I was talking about when we were discussing this in spring training was the June time frame, like looking right before the All-Star break to really understand what Gary is. So yeah, we had he came out of the gate swinging well, and it looked like, again, like you're saying here, like the eye test is definitely giving me a little bit of a fit on this one because he doesn't look as lost at the plate as we had seen in the past. So I expect the numbers to be there, and maybe that's just because we're not seeing him as often and we're seeing Higgy in other games and, you know, we're just being tricked that there's production coming from that position and we're all just too dumb to realize that no, but when he's in there, it is, but he's not flailing at pitches. Doesn't seem right. Like he's getting completely confused.
His at-bats are more competitive.
Yeah. So I'm still giving it into June, you know, just before the All-Star break. I want to see what happens with him over that period of time. That will be my judgment period at that point to say, you know, he's either made his adjustments and you know, we're expected to see some relatively decent production from him, or that's toast. It's either Chirino, see what you got here, or potentially make a move because he ain't coming back the following year.
So is Chirino's, his wrist is 100% are the reports. Is Gary on notice? If Chirino's is playing well in the minors, feeling good, could we see, like you say, mid-June, Gary Sanchez still batting under 200, not playing in a platoon very much? Is it just like, do they sever ties? Do they see what they can get on the trade market? Like, what do they do?
Yeah, I don't know. It's going to be a really tricky situation. Do we know if Chirino's has anything tied to that contract? Does he have to be in the major leagues at a certain point, or does he have an out?
I do not know, Bob, if you could do a quick Google search.
Let's check that out, because that would be
Chirino's Yankees contract.
Not that we're making decisions based on Robinson Chirino's at all, because there's probably, you know, again, there's other guys named Robinson Chirino's just with a different name that are available, I'm sure. You know, so it's really how bad Gary is at a certain point. I just don't think that they're going to give up on him in the middle of the season. I don't see that happening.
Give up? I mean, what are we talking about? He's not even the everyday catcher. He's not the starting catcher anymore. He's the platoon catcher. So isn't that kind of giving up on him?
No, it's just, it's basically you're doing what's been given in front of you. That's what's happening right now. You're just doing what, you know. Look, I hope that when we look back and we're talking about that rock bottom moment, because I'm starting to think that was it.
What's the rock bottom? There's too many.
Was Judge being thrown out at third, okay, and the fact that Boone didn't challenge because he was waiting for the nerds to tell him it was okay and give him the thumbs up. I'm hoping that there was a closed door meeting. We haven't heard anything about this. This is pure speculation, and I'm giving the benefit of the doubt to Boone because I want to, and it's good for my sanity, and there's a long season ahead of us, so I'm going to do that. I'm thinking that there was a closed door meeting between Boone and whomever else that needed to be in the room and say, you know what? I can't do this the way that you're asking me to do this anymore. I started this managerial job, and I was using my instincts because it's what I knew. I didn't know any better to use those instincts. And now I have been trained so badly that I can now no longer use those instincts the way that they're supposed to be used. And I'm constantly second guessing myself or going into doubt because of these goddamn protocols and the goddamn nerds out the window. And we're seeing now the past week using his eyes a little bit more, using that instinct, letting Kluber go a little bit deeper into games, letting, these guys are, he's had some conversations with people about busting it down the line. He's given the death stare to Clint Frazier. Like, he's just reacting a little bit more naturally. And I'm hoping that was a conversation that was had, because if that's the case and Aaron Boone's actually using baseball instincts that he does have in him, hopefully he's using them again.
So as of now, we have Gary Sanchez has played 19 games and Higgy has played 14. If you had to bet who finishes with more games played this season?
Gary Sanchez. I'm still going with Gary.
Bob, what do you think?
I'd say Gary Sanchez too.
Okay. So, right now though, like, Higgy's going to pass him soon if this pace keeps up, because Higgy's catching more often than not the past 10 days. So at some point that's going to have to change. But if Higgy still keeps, he's not going to hit the way he's hitting, but if
Higgy's going to go on a terrible slump. It's going to be a terrible slump. He's going to do it. He's going to pull an 0-for-25 at some point.
But what if Gary is still not hitting?
But that's what he has in him. And then Gary, has an opportunity at that point as well. So I see it going back and forth, but I do think that Gary's going to have the most starts of the two.
Okay.
Yeah. Also, Robinson Chirinos, his contract, it says it's just a 1 year minor league deal. It's a $1 million base with 500K incentives and multiple opt outs. So I don't think it has any, like, he has to
multiple
play.
Multiple opt outs.
Like, yeah.
What are the opt outs, though? I guess the opt outs are the opportunity for him to get out.
That's kind of like, yeah, if say he has an opt out on, June 1st or something, and his agent is saying, you could probably get picked up by another team here because they need some catching depth.
Or be a backup on a team. Yeah, not start, right. But. Yeah.
Definitely be a backup.
I assume it's a lot of these, these veteran contracts have those outs. But,
I don't know what Chirinos is. They brought him in for veteran catching depth, and I think that was just for injury insurance. And ironically, he's the one who got injured, and now he's healthy again. But so, certainly a catcher can get injured at any point. So I guess they'll keep him around as long as they can.
It was definitely opportunity. It was one of those Cashman deals where, he sees a guy that, maybe should be picked up, or at least they think should be picked up. They see something, almost like with Odor, they made an under the table move here. And I think it was just bad luck that Chirinos got hurt. So we'll see how that impacts anything down the road. But
With the sweep, the Yankees were able to get back to 14-14. So they're back at 500, but they did finish April below 500. And amazingly, through that time, they didn't play a team over 500 that finished the month over 500. So they played bad teams, still finished under 500. Cole was unhittable, and there were no major injuries that landed guys on the injured list. And they still just had a terrible month. They are turning it around, but you just got to say, thankfully, the rest of the league is not on a tear. Boston's in first place. They had a good month, but hopefully they come back down to earth. But it doesn't look like this bad start's going to kill them in the division.
No, and it's not going to. And the fact that they were playing bad teams, like, again, to me, none of that really matters right now until they start playing good teams and we see how they play against them. But
they did play Tampa 6 times. Tampa has also not.
Tampa was the ass whooping. Usually, even when the team's going well, Tampa is a thorn.
The Yankees are ahead of Tampa right now, believe it or not,
which is crazy. That's crazy. It's crazy that they show up against us the way that they do and then just completely suck against everybody else.
So,
and I think Ottavino blew a game today or was getting the loss.
Frank Golden, I believe, posted in the Facebook group what would be acceptable record for the Yankees over this next 3 series. They play Houston, then the Nationals, then Tampa. And I said, win all those series. And he's like, well, that might be too much to ask. But whatever happens against Houston and the Nationals, if you go to play Tampa again and you get your butts whipped again by Tampa, it's like, at what point are they going to turn the season around? What are they going to turn their play around against Tampa? Like, that's, I think, important. You can't just keep losing series to Tampa.
Yeah, no, I definitely want to see them against Tampa and put out much better. And the pitching's going well, so we'll see. We'll get to that point when we get to that point. But yeah, obviously at this point right now, we want to see series W's. That's the name of the game. Series W's, keep grinding, and then pick your head back up and see where you are come All-Star break.
Are you ready for some absolutely bonkers, silly stats about Gerrit Cole? He's made 6 starts this year. He's produced 2.4 F-war in that time, which means if he starts 32 games this year, he's going to finish with 12.8 F-war. In 2019, when he should have won the Cy Young, he had 7.3 F-war. So he's like even far and away better than he was pitching in 2019. 12 WAR for a pitcher in a season is like Pedro 1999. It's like that level good. He's got a 1.43 ERA, a 0.46 FIP, because he has a 62-3. I repeat, 62-3 strikeout to walk ratio. He struck out 62 and only walked 3. He's basically just taking the bat out of people's hands. He's not allowing his fielders to even come into play. He's just striking people out.
And when he gets an early lead like he did the other night, he just peppers the zone because that fastball is so good and he works off of it so well. He just peppers the zone at that point, knowing that that the runs are there and that these guys just can't hit him at all. So it's fun to watch him work ahead because he's methodical, he's fast, he peppers a lot of strikes, just pounding the zone. These guys know what's coming and they still can't touch it. And when you have a guy in that type of position, it's special stuff because these major league players, even when there's a fastball coming, can't hit the fastball.
You know me. I can't not bring up something negative here. And what I think of this is, damn, the Yankees better not waste this prime from Gerrit Cole because he's not going to be this pitcher in 2024. You've got this year, next year, and probably the year after where he's the best pitcher on the planet or second to Jacob DeGrom. You cannot waste these years. This is what you paid for. This is why you're paying him $36 million a year. Go out and win a championship when Gerrit Cole is this freaking good.
Yeah, that's the reason they got him. So I think they're trying not to waste him.
What do you think of this mustache he's trying to grow?
I was very surprised when I saw it. First of all, you can't see it unless you're really looking for it. It's one of those.
You got to zoom in. Yeah, this is like day two of a mustache.
It's a skin tone mustache. Those are never good, right? The skin tone beards and the skin, they make you look a little skeezy because you can't tell that it's there. And then you're like, oh, there's hair there. It's kind of weird. But he can do no wrong. So good for him. I hope Mike Ford started something. I hope the Bronx stash comes back.
Are we going to have to shave into mustaches? Because we both got beards going, right? See, the sucky thing for Yankees is if they want to grow a mustache, they just have to grow a mustache until it looks good. Because normally what you do is you just let a beard grow. And then when it's thick, you just shave everything except the mustache. Boom, you got a full mustache. But because the Yankees facial hair policy, which doesn't allow facial hair, but allows mustaches, because it was established in the 70s and everyone had a mustache in the 70s, you got to just live with this funky looking mustache.
Yeah, but that's the point of it. You got to work yourself into it. It's on display from day one. And when Mike Ford walks up with the,
his
that beautiful,
is impressive,
powerful stash right there, then that's a broom. The dude's got a broom. And when you have a push broom, then everybody else kind of has to, level up a little bit.
So if Gerrit Cole, though, starts to grow a mustache, I think we have to have mustache. Bob,
I think you guys got to do a little like mini game. Loser has to shave the beard, keep the mustache.
Oh, so I have no problem doing this. If you probably don't know this, but back in COVID when everyone was losing my mind and I was bored, I just shaved into the Goose Gosh's handlebar mustache for like 2 weeks because I wasn't seeing anybody anyway. My wife wanted to freaking murder me. I looked like a serial killer.
Yeah, I'm on way too many Zoom calls these days for me to have a horrible looking mustache. Plus, it's just not good for anybody, to be honest. It's really just not good. So if these guys
are in college, they can
do it. And I want to see it go through the clubhouse because it's usually fun when they do that.
I've been trying. No, I can't.
What year was it that they got off to like a fast start and they all started to grow a mustache?
It was Brendan Ryan. Brendan Ryan was the first, was the guy 2015? I think that had it, right? Was that 15, 14, 15? I think it was the first year we had the podcast.
So it was 2015. Yeah. And then I remember Ellsbury grew a mustache and everyone was like, this isn't fun anymore. Let's shave. So Aaron Judge back in the lineup after his lower body soreness, which is very vague, but he's hitting. The one thing that's kind of unjudgian this year is that he actually ranks below average in his defensive metrics. So outs above average, he's in the bottom five percentile in the league. And outfielder jump, he's in the bottom 10. And normally you usually see him up near the top in the league. That's what makes him an elite player when he's on the field, is he's not just a great offensive player. He's a great defensive player. This year, he's not been a great defensive player. And
these are defensive metrics that need a ton of sample size for them to mean anything.
Outfielder above average, definitely. Outfield jump.
The answer is definitely
yes. A little bit less for outfield jump. But here's the thing.
None of this means anything.
My point is, this is by design, I think. I don't think Judge forgot how to play defense at age 29. This is by design. He's taking it more easy. And if that keeps him on the field for 85% of the season, which he's been on the field for 85% of the season so far, he's had a couple sit down for 2-3 days. Don't tell anyone what's wrong. Just act like you're sore. Maybe you got a COVID vaccine or whatever it is. But if it prevents him from going on the IL, this load management thing, then cool. I'm cool with it. Let's see in September if he's been doing that. Fine. It worked. But what we have now is a less complete player, because if he's a below average right fielder,
you can't
he's not
say
the same
that.
Player.
Okay, fine. If that's the case, if those numbers are at that point in September, then we can talk about that. You can't say shit about what he is as a defensive player. He hasn't looked bad. He's been diving.
Yes, he has.
I don't think he's looked bad.
He has literally pulled up on balls.
That's fine. He can pull up on a couple balls, but his instinctual, he's still diving as well. So there's something else there. But you can't look at the defensive metrics at this point in May 1st or May 2nd, whatever today is, and say anything about them, because they are literally probably the most of the baseball analytics rooted in larger sample sizes. So you're making a judgment
that.
Based on a small amount of time that doesn't mean shit.
I'm using also my eyes and seeing he's not the same right fielder right now.
Okay. Well, let's give him some more time on that one.
Do you think he's looked the same defensively? There was a play, the play at the wall in Cleveland, right? He just didn't make a play that he normally makes.
Maybe he is more hesitant. Maybe they have said something about that. I have a hard time a player like that can just like turn that off though.
I mean, it seems like he has, though, because he actually talked about it in spring training. And then there was also a ball early in the season when Gerrit Cole was pitching. It was a pop fly down the right field line. And he just stopped running and it bounced in fair territory because he didn't want to run into the wall. Now, listen, again, if this keeps him on the field for 85% of the season,
And we're talking about like,
cool
you're not talking
it.
About like dogging it and making bad plays, because that's kind of what it sounds like you're saying as well. He's not dogging it. I don't think Aaron
he's
Judge
not
is dog-
dogging
a
it, but
day
he's
in his
not-
life.
He's not dogging it, but he is not playing with the same outfield aggressiveness that he's played with in the past and has made him one of the best defensive right fielders in baseball.
Okay. Then again, I need more time to see what it is and any of these metrics. If we're looking at these defensive stats, because the defensive
we'll
metrics
at him again. We'll check
are
in
just
on
like,
him.
They're mostly dog shit in the first
use
place.
Use your
but you
eyes too, though.
Anything.
I'm telling you, use your eyes too. You're an eye test guy. Watch him.
Yeah,
play
you don't have
right
to tell
field.
Me that. I haven't seen that much. I've seen a couple plays, but I don't think I've seen a couple plays in the previous season that I just haven't noticed. So I've definitely noticed him lay out for balls as well. So why does he lay out for a ball in a given moment and then not on another moment? I don't know.
Well, it's he's started so far the most games he's in a season since 2017. So
yeah, all this hoopla about Judge sitting and like rested and whatever, it's much ado about nothing, because this is what the Yankees are just doing.
It's load management.
Sure. We can't get mad about it anymore. We just can't. Like it could be frustrating. It could go against the way we think that baseball should be run. But at the same time, they're also trying to do something different to keep them on the field. I'm not saying that that's how you do it. I don't know. I don't think that there's a defined way to keep somebody on the field long-term. But over time, clearly the numbers are dictating and saying that if there's X amount of time, or if certain injuries in certain areas that have soft tissue, we're going to be on the side of caution than you know, pushing him just because, you know, we have an off day the next day and there's and he could play and get the off day then. They're just not going to do that. They're going to go to those off days.
Well, what do you think about Stanton getting the day off on Saturday?
That's exactly why I said that, because it's the same thing. Like he was a scheduled off day. Yes, there's an off day coming up, So what does that really mean? Because he's hitting the ball very well. You want him in the lineup.
He's but then again, also
you're
DH.
Playing Detroit. Can you not go out there and hit the ball?
But he is on a, at that point, he was on an 8-game hitting streak. Now he's on a 9-game hitting streak. He had 9 hits in the last 3 games. He was hitting missiles all over the field. And he's a full-time DH. Like, all right.
It is what it is. It is what it is, man. It is what it is. That's it. Like, if we get, that's just the way that baseball is handled today, especially the Yankees, especially the Yankees.
Well, here's the thing. It hasn't worked for the Yankees the past 3 seasons. They've still dealt with an unprecedented amount of injuries. If it works this year, I'll say good. Good strategy. But if we find these guys dropping like flies in the middle of the summer with random injuries and they're on the IL, then load management for these Yankees doesn't work.
Well, no shit. You can as soon as you have the result, then you know if it's good or not, though.
We've had the result for 18, 19, and 20, and they've been injured.
But they're trying different things. They're
this is exactly what they've tried the last 3 years.
They were doing yoga. These guys are yogis now. They're stretching more. They're making sure that their body is more limber, less bulky. So maybe the offense hit a little bit different.
And they stayed healthy. Yeah, they were doing a lot of steroids.
They didn't call it stretching.
No one stretched in the 90s.
Nah, they drank beer and it loosened the muscles and, you know, they went out longer.
You did the high leg jog around like the outfield and that was your stretching. Okay.
Mariano Rivera would go shag balls in the outfield for his stretching and running.
Right. So another takeaway from April, and this is Aaron Hicks's splits. Batting left, he is a 107 hitter with a 215 on base and a 179 slugging. That's a 394 OPS. For context, pitchers in 2019 across Major League Baseball had a 322 OPS. So he is nearly as bad as a pitcher batting left-handed. He is an automatic out when he is batting left-handed.
He is an automatic out. I'm hoping this is going to be like a nice closeout to April and we're going to bury it and then never talk about it again until it maybe, rears its ugly head at another point. But, that's where I'm going with this. And Aaron Hicks should do the same thing with being a left-handed hitter and switch hitter and just go to the right side. And I know it's going to completely screw up Boone's lineups.
Yeah,
and
how can he'll never break be able up to hit the, third again, can't break up the righties.
Yeah, it'll be he'll have to make a deal for another lefty and figure it out. But
well, the one thing I noticed in looking at his metrics, so batting right-handed, he has a 907 OPS and he has 3 home runs batting right, 1 home run batting left. He has 1 double each batting each side. 9 walks batting left, 1 walk batting right. So he's kind of a different approach when he's batting right. He's a little bit more aggressive when he's batting right.
Yeah, it's so crazy to me though, because to me that means he's seeing the ball well, right? If you're walking that many times from the left side and you're still struggling, you're seeing the ball well. So you should be able to, you know, theoretically you should theoretically be able to barrel up a higher percentage, I would think. But
Hicks goes up there and he's like, I'm not swinging this at bat. I'm just going to hope he throws 4 balls before he throws 3 strikes.
Well, he's going to have to change his tune, because I guarantee at this point now, pitchers, when they see him up from the left side, they're going to be pepper in the strike zone.
394 OPS. He's a borderline unplayable from the left side. I mean, that's an auto out. That's nothing. He's doing nothing offensively from the left side.
He's walking.
Yeah.
He's walking.
Yeah. You're right. So the Kluber performance today, just quickly, with Higgy calling the shots there. How much do you put stock into that? Is it really like Higgy is the turnaround?
Yeah, we already
here?
Talked about this. Yes, I think there is. They even
did Cone we already talk about this?
Yeah, we talked about it last episode. The fact that yes, they're in the same catcher's room, but these guys also react differently in real time. They're different people. They have different minds. They think different things. They have different strategies. They saw that the changeup was working well today. There was a good communication there. They talked about it. Cone was talking about this at some point in the broadcast, and they went with it and they kept going. And they realized that it was a plus pitch on the day. And at that point, if you can recognize that, if there's good communication, good collaboration between the two, good teamwork, good battery, if that's the case, then you can make those adjustments on the fly. You can make those adjustments in an at bat, in inning. You can do all of these things. If there is not a good working relationship with pitcher and catcher, those are much more difficult to identify much more difficult to implement because if you're not on the same page with somebody, then it's just harder to actually connect on those things. And today, the change up. And by the way, his grip is just, it's so awesome looking at it. He chokes up on that damn ball so far. I mean, it looks like.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Like it's touching like all of his palm surface area when he's releasing that ball. So it's pretty special to watch.
So then how is Gary ever going to catch again? If it's this stark a difference where Higgy can make that much of an impact, where Kluber, who had been terrible in the season up until the Baltimore start, and now is been a fantastic pitcher the last two starts
against bad teams, as you've pointed out, we just have to see how those adjustments, because that it could be circumstantial. It could be the fact that when those adjustments were made, when Higgy was catching, then we saw the impact there. But the changeup, I'd have to go back and see the last start he had with Gary. If the changeup wasn't working, or if the changeup was hit early, maybe they don't spin to that. Who knows? Again, two games, sample size is a tough one to call. But right now, it does look like Higgy's calling a damn good game with a lot of these guys and has these guys very comfortable. That's just what I'm seeing recently.
This podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp. Is there something interfering with your happiness or is preventing you from achieving your goals? We've all gone through a lot over the past year plus with COVID. Well, BetterHelp will assess your needs and match you with your own licensed professional therapist. You can start communicating in under 48 hours. It's not a crisis line. It's not self-help. It's professional counseling done securely online. There's a broad range of expertise available, which may not be locally available in your area. And it's available worldwide. You can log into your account anytime and send a message to your counselor. You'll get timely and thoughtful responses. Plus, you can schedule weekly video or phone sessions, so you won't ever have to sit in an uncomfortable waiting room as with traditional therapy. BetterHelp is committed to facilitating great therapeutic matches, so they make it easy and free to change counselors if needed. It's more affordable than traditional offline counseling, and financial aid is available. BetterHelp wants you to start living happier today. You can visit their website and read their testimonials that are posted daily to see for yourself. Visit BetterHelp.com/Bronx21. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P, and join the over 1 million people who have taken charge of their mental health with the help of experienced professionals. We have a great special offer for our listeners. You can get 10% off your first month at BetterHelp.com/Bronx21. One more time, BetterHelp.com/Bronx21.
All right, a couple quick roster and injury stuff before we get to Bob's segment. So the Yankees put Darren O'Day on the injured list with a rotator cuff strain. That's bad news for a pitcher, especially a 39, 38-year-old pitcher. That's at least a month that he's probably going to be shut down. So that's definitely an impact loss in the bullpen. But Michael King is back from alternate site, which is good because he's been great this year. Luke Voit is ready to play in rehab games. And we were talking about Chirinos. The minor league rosters were set, and Jason Dominguez, Yankees top prospect, is actually going to start at extended spring training, which means we still have to wait until he plays in a pro game.
But then he's going up to, I thought I saw Hudson Valley. Isn't that where he's going to be going to?
Oh, I didn't see that.
I saw that somewhere. I have to look to see it.
But so then why wouldn't they just assign him there right now?
Well, I mean, who knows? Because they want to work with it. I don't know. I'm sure he's getting special treatment. So whatever they're doing very, very strategic with him. But if he's playing at Hudson Valley, those games are going to be packed.
You think so?
Yeah, I do. I think a lot of people would want to go
casual.
Watch that.
Do you think casual fans know about Jason Dominguez?
How many people are at a minor league stadium? 5,000?
Well, how many are they going to allow?
Well,
no, yeah, it's probably five
at full capacity.
Oh, those like low A, like single A, double A, probably 8,000 or less.
Okay. So yeah, I think that you could definitely, if you allowed full capacity at some point, if that becomes a thing, then yeah, I think that Jason Dominguez would definitely get a crowd.
All right, Bob, you want to get into your segment?
Yeah. So just to quickly recap last week's segment of the on the fence segment. So you guys had a couple predictions. The first one was the over or under 4.5 games won. You guys both slammed the over. And that hit, we went 5-2. The second one, will the Yankees score over or under 27.5 runs? Scott, you slammed this over as well. And that hit, there was a total of 35 runs. And that...
What was the line? Sorry, what was the line again?
27.5.
27. So, oh, yeah. All day.
Yeah.
All day.
So, Andrew, you missed on that one. And then we had a tie between DJ and Judge hits. They both had 8. Except DJ had 32 plate appearances while Judge only had 22.
Mm-hmm.
So
that had nothing to do with anything to the prop bet, mm-hmm. but that's great.
Yeah, it doesn't. That's a tie.
No, and, but my point at the time was Judge looks a hell of a lot better at the plate than DJ does right now. And that,
I mean, yeah. That's fine. I didn't totally disagree with you. I just have a lot of faith in DJ and he's going to get a lot of hits and he's looking much better to be fair to him too, which is a good thing. I mean, shit, they're all looking much better at this point.
And then lastly was the Kluber or Devy Garcia in both their outings against the Orioles. Yeah, you guys both said Devy would get more strikeouts, but Kluber had 5, Devy had 4. So that one was a miss for both.
It was close.
I felt good
about it when I saw that he got 4, too.
Yeah.
And if you want to talk about the same thing, at-bats from Judge to LeMahieu, the innings disparity was different. It was Kluber pitched 7, right? And then what did... Davey got what four
innings.
Yeah. So same thing there. It was
but we both took Devy.
Yeah, I know, but higher strikeout per 9 for Davey Garcia.
Yeah, but we didn't know that Kluber was going to turn back into the Klubot because of Higgy.
I'm very happy he is.
Yeah. So the overall record, Scott, you went 2-1-1. Andrew, you went 1-1-2, and that's where we're at so far. But going back to Aaron Judge. There's been a lot of conversations about if the Yankees should trade him, and there were even rumors last week that the Yankees and the Angels were in very light communication about a possible trade over the offseason. So I just want to know what you guys sort of think about a possible Judge trade. I read an article by Joe Giglio who mentioned a few teams that he could end up at, including the Angels or the White Sox or the Giants, who could all show interest for different reasons. So I just want to know what you guys sort of think about that. If the Yankees should look to trade him, is it too soon? But yeah.
Well,
I'll go first.
Okay.
Sorry, I didn't see you talking. They're not going to trade him. They're not going to trade him, and they're going to give him a big contract. That's going to happen. Going to happen when those Judges Chambers went in to right field. At that point, the Yankees said, "This is our guy. We're getting behind this guy. He's going to be the next Yankee that we all get behind. He's probably going to be a captain at some point." I think that there's no doubt about it at this point. Even with some of these injuries, the blowback for Aaron Judge leaving and playing 140 games anywhere else, because we know what his production is when he's on the field. It's always good. His production when he's on the field is there. And he actually outproduces many times people in far fewer games. As we just saw with even with DJ and him talking about hits in the last game. So I don't think it's actually that much of a question. When you look around the league and you're identifying people that you want to be the franchise, it's a known quantity. They know who Aaron Judge is. He's already built a brand within the New York Yankees that they like a lot. And I don't think that's ever good. That's not changing. That's not changing unless something completely drastic happens. These tic-tac little injury things, these little soft, I don't think it matters to the Yankees. He's been playing in the playoffs and he has production in the playoffs. And at the end of the day, that's what matters.
Well, so here they have this year and next year of him under arbitration. If they do this load management and he plays 80% of the season and that works, then I agree. I could see them comfortably giving him a contract to extend him into his mid to late 30s. I don't know, massive contract. He's going to be 31 when he's a free agent, which kind of sucks for him, especially his injury history. But if he does not play, if he plays 60% of the season this year and next year, like he has the last 3 years, how do you justify giving him a massive contract?
I don't because think of the can. Production, because of the production, because of the production when he's
but
on
his
the field.
Production is not going to get better when he's 34 years old. It's going to get worse.
You don't pay guys for that's not the way baseball works, though. That's
yes,
never been
now
the way
it is.
Works.
It's not how
baseball
it worked 20 years ago.
Paying for guys. Look what happened happened with Steven Strasburg. Steven Strasburg, you're going to say that really? Because Steven Strasburg just signed a massive contract. The guy is hurt
look
every
at
single
every
year.
Other position
Hold on,
player
every
contract.
Single year, every single year he's hurt. He's not an impact guy during the regular season. He was an impact guy in the postseason. That's what they care about. They care about the brand, how many jerseys they're going to sell, whether they can put up some decent numbers over the period of time, be a productive player, and then be there in the postseason to produce. And yes, they have to get over the hump, but that's more of a team thing. Judge has been there. Not when you're looking at the postseason, can't really say that much about him because all we are looking at regular season stats. And at the end of the day, does it really matter that much how many games he's on the field in the regular season if he's there in the postseason? In the postseason. Why?
Because you can't bank on that every year. You can't time when the injuries come. What happens if he gets injured in September? Then he's not going to be there for the postseason.
But he
and
hasn't
also,
been.
If you look at every position player contract over the past 5 years, okay, the only guys that get massive contracts are guys who are still in their mid to late 20s. Manny Machado, Bryce Harper, Mookie Betts, all these guys were like 26, 27 years old when they got their contracts. Players who are in their 30s, position players, do not get massive contracts anymore. They don't. They used to. They don't anymore. And that Steven Strasburg contract is like one, and it wasn't good. So why are you going to use a bad contract as an example?
Because it just happened. That's why I'm going to use it. It's convenient, of course.
But why would the Yankees do something like this if it's bad business?
It's not bad business. That's where you're wrong. That's where you're exactly wrong. It's not bad business. It's still good business. That's the point. That's
exactly
my point.
They already have Stanton until 2028.
Dude, Stanton is not Aaron Judge to the Yankee fan. I mean, I don't know how you can possibly compare the two.
My point is you're going to then have two of these players who can't stay on the field. Why are you going to strap your roster like that? That's maybe the Steinbrenners will pressure Cashman into doing this, but I think if it were up to Cashman, he would not extend Aaron Judge for a long
term.
At
the same time, also, like Judge is gonna, you know, I don't know what year or when this happens, but he's gonna be a DH at the end of his career, right? We agree there.
They already have a full time DH,
but that's the point. Stanton is there; they're gonna eat the end of that contract. Probably gonna eat 3 years of that contract. I'd say 2 to 3 years they're gonna eat it, and basically he's just not gonna be a productive player. And I think they're okay with that.
Listen to what you're saying, okay?
I am.
Both players are the same age. So if you sign Aaron Judge to a 7-year contract, that means he's the same age as Giancarlo Stanton into 2028. How can they both DH?
Because I don't think Stanton and Judge are going to age the same way. Judge is much more like the swing when you see Aaron Judge swing a bat, it actually looks like a baseball player. When you see Giancarlo Stanton swing a bat, it looks like a guy taking an axe and trying to hack the shit out of a log.
What does that have to do with anything
that
we just talked
about? I don't think it will age well. I think they're
literally going to eat the contract and he's not going to be on the roster? Giancarlo Stanton?
It'll just be a bad contract. It'll be a
bad contract.
So
he's not going to be on the roster?
They might. They might. Possibly.
Okay.
It's possible. Well, he's going to be on the roster.
I don't think they're going to trade him. I can't imagine they would trade him in these next 2 years because this is their World Series window and he is, when he's on the field,
they can't.
Their most productive all-around player. However, I don't think it's a lock that they give him a massive contract. Maybe something could be worked out where they sign him to a slightly more team-friendly contract, but I don't think
it's would he do that? He's not that's the point. That's the difference here.
I don't know.
Is that there's going to be a demand for Aaron Judge because no, like no pun intended here, larger than life. He puts butts in seats.
I don't know if that's true.
You're dismissing, you don't think that's true? You're dismissing
He's going to be 31 years old and he's been injured every year.
He's a blockbuster ticket item. He's a ticket item for people to come.
Can you find me one example of a position player in their 30s over the past 5 years that has gotten a massive contract with his injury history? No, you cannot.
With his injury history? I'd have to go and look.
Even in their 30s, it does not exist. every position player who gets 7 years plus is in their 20s when they sign. He's going to be 31 years old.
Okay. So do you think that there's not going to be any competition for Aaron Judge?
What did Rendon? Yeah, there'll be competition, but there's not a team's not going to come in and offer that offer you can't refuse. It's not going to happen. What? How old is Rendon from the Angels?
When the Yankees get behind a guy like that, there's not much turning back at this point. Like, I don't think that they can even think about doing such a thing. I mean, it was shocking when they moved on from Didi. They can't move on from Aaron Judge. They won't do it. From a business standpoint, from a fan perspective, can't do it.
Here's an example. The closest I think you might be able to find. Rendon was 30 years old when he was a free agent, and he got 7 years from the Angels. So I think maximum what you're looking at for Aaron Judge is seven years.
How many? What's his AAV?
It's not every year the same, but it's high. So last year he got 26, this year 28, next year 36, 2023 38.
Okay, so I mean, right there, you're giving me an example of a guy. That's
yeah, but
30
he's not been injured
with 7 years. But Rendon doesn't put butts in seats like Aaron Judge does. He doesn't.
I
have
agree
the same
with
time.
That.
There's a very difference in.
I agree with that. But he was a year younger, and he plays 100, and he had played 156, 147, 136, 146, 52 out of the 60.
That's not a lot of games.
146,
136. I caught a 136 in there.
Okay,
catch a niner?
136. When's the last time Aaron Judge played 136 games? 2017.
He's going to play 140 this year because that was the
he's on pace to. Let's see if it happens.
Here's where I think I'm not dismissing the injury history. Yes, of course, that's going to be a consideration. But I think that you're underplaying how big of a deal it is because it's the New York Yankees and that they've gotten behind him and that he is the face of the New York Yankees. That's a huge deal. That is a huge.
I know that.
Why he's
so,
get
and I said, if
and
they,
he's
if
not
he
going to take a hometown deal because he's going to get good deals somewhere else.
Do you think he would sign a 7-year contract?
Yeah, I do.
Do you think he would sign a 6-year contract?
He's going to be 31.
Yep.
In 2 years, who knows what these contracts look like? But yeah, six, seven years, I could see.
Okay,
I don't think it'll. I think five is too few.
I think the Yankees could see the Yankees giving him a 6-year contract with like an option for a couple years to make it seem like it's a longer
contract.
Look,
the collective bargaining agreement's happening next after this year. So who the hell knows what these contracts are going to look like?
He might have to.
We will
pay
have a new precedent set probably next year. So we'll deal with that. But the Rendon contract that you just said is probably good comp plus a few because
of the New York Yankees. He got seven. So because he's going to get nine?
I'm talking about money-wise. Because of the New York Yankees, he's going to probably have a higher AAV.
Higher than $38 million?
It depends how the contracts are going. Then Rendon, yes. Bob, you were going to say something.
Yeah, I was going to say from like a pure baseball standpoint, if you're taking away the fact that he is the face of the Yankees, it would be a pretty poor business decision for the Yankees. Mm-hmm. He does get heads in seats. From a pure baseball standpoint, would it make sense to consider a trade like in the next year or two just let him walk?
So, I mean, typically for a team, if they're not going to sign their best player, then trading him is the best option because you get a return on that asset. But for the Yankees, keeping that asset for the next 2 years to try to win a World Series is necessary. So unless a team makes a stupid offer for Aaron Judge, where it's like Brian Cashman goes to Hal and is like, look, they're giving us their top three prospects plus two players that can help us win right now. If we don't take this, we're idiots. Then it's just not going to happen.
Yeah, it makes sense.
This is a hot topic because a lot of people get very mad.
There's
about
some strong
this.
Opinions because there's some a lot of strong people that opinions. Don't like. There's a lot of people that don't like Judge. Simply because
I don't think anyone doesn't
problem.
Like Judge,
the,
but like
they don't. Yeah, it, people don't like the injuries. People don't like the nagging type stuff.
No one's rooting against him.
But at the same time, like when I go back and I'm looking at what his production has been postseason, like the guy shows up. The guy shows up.
I'm not denying any of this.
I know, but that's a huge reason. That's a huge deal.
I don't know that Brian Cashman looks at that right now. I think he is his. Department is so analytically focused that they're not going to look at a small sample in October and say, oh, look, he is hit. He has a 130 WRC plus in October. That's going to be like 30 at bats. That's not going to be anything to decide a contract on.
Let me ask you a question. If they win a World Series this year and he's or next year, let's just say they win one of these next 2 years.
Yep.
Does that change things for you?
I actually think it probably makes it less likely they sign him to a long-term contract.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. Because if they get close these next 2 years, maybe they win the pennant both years, or maybe 1 year they win the pennant because they haven't been to the World Series since 2009. So if they get to a World Series in one of these next 2 years but lose, then that taste is going to be there. It's like, we got to bring the band back together. But if they win and get over the hump,
I mean, you could go the other way and say that the band wasn't good enough also if you wanted to.
You could, but you're still going to be in the midst of Gerrit Cole's prime. You're still going to have Gleyber Torres, who should be hopefully in his prime. You're going to have Giancarlo Stanton, who only has a couple years left while he's still a competent baseball player. So you're going to have, it's sort of like now or never. And if we don't sign Aaron Judge, then we're giving up on our World Series hopes and we're kind of going into reboot mode.
And that's another reason why they're not going to let a player like Aaron Judge go, and they're just going to continue to build around him.
If the contract is semi-reasonable, it can't be a stupid contract, they won't do it for him, because he's at the end of the 2017 season, I would have said they're going to sign him to a 12-year contract, but he has not played since then. He's been hurt so often since then. He just needs to show he can stay on the field. If this load management thing keeps him on the field for 80% of the season for the next 2 years, then yes, they will sign him and that will be the right call. But if they try load management with this guy and he sits because of too much baseball and travel because he's got lower body soreness and he still winds up on the IL with something this year and he plays 115 games or 120 games this year, you can't justify signing him for a long-term contract until he's 38 years old. That's moronic.
All right, let's see what happens. Let's see what happens here. Hopefully he's staying on the field, because the production, and I think the opposite of the World Series. I think if he wins a World Series, I think that it's more of an emphasis to bring him back because of the off-field stuff. Like, you guys are talking purely baseball here as well. This is not just a base on the field baseball decision. And that has to be considered.
Do you guys even want to do mailbags?
Let me ask you a question. If Robinson, I think Robinson Cano, if he was a bigger, like, superstar at that point, do you think the Yankees would have matched offers? Because I think they would have. I think part of his marketability was a bit of a reason on why they didn't go over and above.
Well, I mean, he certainly was not as marketable as Aaron Judge. No player has been as marketable as Aaron Judge since Derek Jeter. But I think Cashman saw also the writing on the wall with this team, and that signing
and Robinson, the smoke from the steroid thing.
Oh, maybe there was signing Cano in 2013 when the team was terrible. Like, that their run was officially over in 2012, and then so they lost Cano, and then they made so many bad decisions with the Ellsbury and the Beltran and the who was the other guy, McCann. So if Robinson Cano was what Aaron Judge is right now, then maybe. But also at the time, Robinson Cano played almost every day. He played 160 games a year. So if at the time when you were looking, if you're going to give a guy a 10-year contract, when it's never good business to give a guy a 10-year contract, you could at least say he's been durable. Aaron Judge has not been durable.
Yeah. All right. I mean, look, it's going to be impossible. I'm not trying to change anybody's mind here with what they're seeing, because clearly the injuries speak for themselves. They are what they are. The one thing I'll say, that I think it's much easier for him to be sitting during the regular season, whereas some of these injuries that are potentially keeping him out would not keep him out in October. And I think that's a big thing also, because yes, he gets nicked
up. If it keeps him off the IL. If he still goes on the injured list this year, then it doesn't help.
Why he goes on the injured list.
If he gets hit again in the wrist and he fractures his wrist, that's out of his control. But if it's another calf injury, leg injury, oblique strain, anything like that, then load management is not keeping him off the injured list. It's just delaying injuries.
It's so hard to pinpoint this stuff. It really is, because load management is about a particular, the player has to feel something first, right? for them to get that, or they have these scheduled days off, which really don't have any rhyme or reason. They're just there to give them.
I don't
more
think Judge's
off
days off
feet.
Last week were scheduled. I think Stanton's was a scheduled day off.
I agree
Saturday.
With that. I agree
Judge
with that.
Judge went to Boone and said, "You know, I'm feeling a little lethargic or something like that in my lower body," and Boone said, "Okay, we're sitting you down for 2 days."
So, but again, they're not always going to just be like very apparent and have the warning that, you know, I didn't sleep in a pod. My leg is cramping up more than it usually does. They're not going to always have that warning. Like, things are just going to happen at some point too. And then load management has nothing to do with that. So it's going to get shit on at some point because it's bad. Like, the percentages are just playing that, you know, something is going to happen without the warning shot for you to be able to sit before it.
The idea here is if Judge went out there in Baltimore, even though he was a little sore, and then maybe he's sprinting for a ball and he pulls a muscle, that wouldn't have happened if he was feeling 100%. But because he was sore, maybe it was more likely to happen.
Right. And I think that's just a crapshoot.
Okay. All right. Let's wrap
it. But if it works, we could say it works, right?
Yeah, so we'll find out. We don't know. We won't know until later in the year. We won't know
until he injures it the next time, and then we
have voicemails today?
I see you just like loading up for the next time there's any kind of tweak. Where's load to shit all over load management?
What do you mean? Yeah, of course. That's what I do.
I know.
It's like that.
It's just bound to happen.
It's the whole point of having a podcast, Scott.
At any point.
Yeah.
I want to rip through a couple of these real quick.
All right, go for it.
The Tyler Wade. So mailbags, thank you, Luke, Duncan, and Gaffney. Send these in. A couple of them we're not going to totally get into because it's kind of old business and I'm trying to stay positive here. But one was fascinating to me. And this is Luke. Okay, so I'm going to read it. Hey, guys, I was hoping to get your opinions on Tyler Wade. I saw a tweet earlier that Boone said he's a dynamic player. There's a real dynamic he brings, the different versatility off the bench that's really good. Could have started him today, thought about it, but I like his role coming off the bench in some targeted situations. He says, I don't understand what Boone sees in Wade. He's had plenty of chances to show that he's a terrible hitter, can't even bunt, and only uses his defense and speed. Okay. I gotta like change my position here because if Tyler Wade can't bunt, he the only things that he can do, which he could do well, both these two things that he could do well, he can play defense well, and he's fast. If he can't
use
his speed,
that's not dynamic, though.
Well, there aren't very many fast guys on this team. That's why it's dynamic compared to everybody else.
Okay.
So dynamic means first to third. That could be dynamic when you're comparing
it to
everybody else.
You got to get on base first, unless you pinch run.
Dynamic being the guy. Yeah, you know, if Tyler Wade's standing on second base during an extra inning, or. But if Tyler Wade is a guy to come up and bunt a guy over, which would be much more useful in an extra inning position that he cannot do right now. He's worthless. When I see Gio playing the shortstop position, like kind of looks smooth, kind of looks good. Not really much you could do there. If Andujar could come and show that he's got a bat and play like a little bit of third and Gio slides over to shortstop every once in a while, I'm fine with that. Don't have Tyler Wade on the team. It's not working.
Yeah, so Duncan actually asks, when Voit comes back, who gets replaced on the roster? He says Odor is the obvious one, but Odor has kind of wormed his way into the fabric of this team right now, and he's batting third.
He's hit.
Fourth.
I mean, he's had production. So,
I mean,
yeah.
He's had big hits. He has had production.
Production is the key here.
But it is still Odor who's the odd man out here. Because you could say, yes, send down Tyler Wade, but then you're back to square one with this shortstop issue, which is the whole reason Mike Tauchman was traded.
I think it was a part of the reason, but yes. You are, but again, if you have Tyler Wade...
I guess Ford. Down, Ford's on the roster right now.
Ford's the clear one for...
Okay,
for
so Ford goes down for Voit. That never, okay. Well, yeah,
but here's the thing. Like if Andujar is hitting... I would rather have him on the team than Tyler Wade. Tyler Wade's not really as much of a regular season guy for me.
But how is Andujar?
And he can't
going
bunt.
To...
The bunting thing really just screwed me on him.
Okay, so you said if Andujar is hitting in AAA, but he's not going to get regular at bats at the major league level unless there's an injury. So he's going to be a play twice a week, get 6 to 8 plate appearances a week.
That's,
so
that's, we, he's not going to prove that he can do that. Yep.
I mean, that's, I mean, they could try it again. It didn't
adding work. Adding a bat, a contact bat, a guy that can change the dynamic of the lineup a little bit is a positive thing. And just depends on how the Yankees are going, I think. But I like the fact that he's there and we know what kind of bat he can be. And that could be a real help for this team.
I don't know that they would pick 8 plate appearances a week or 6 plate appearances a week for Mandujar over backup shortstop Tyler Wade.
Yeah, it's one of those toss-ups here. I think if Gio is showing that he could play short, like he's going to be proficient. He's going to be fine. Not going to cover a ton of ground, but he'll be fine. What are you really losing?
I don't know. I mean, they sent in
run prevention.
They sent in Wade for defense in late in 8th inning today.
Yeah, that's probably why that won't happen. But again, trying to get Andujar's bat in there at some point if he's showing that he can hit.
I mean, most people have forgotten about Andujar.
I haven't. I'll never forget.
Okay. That's going to do it for this episode. Thank
wait,
you,
wait,
guys.
Wait. I got the bubblegum results.
Oh, nice.
Did you put out a poll?
Before we wrap up. So coming in first was original bubblegum with 41% of the votes. Coming in second, a close second, well, I guess close to third, was grape with 23%.
Let's go. Grape came in second?
Yeah, and then sour apple with 21% and watermelon with 15%. And we had a couple of comments. Last. Vindette said, this is outrageous. Grape should have 125% of the votes. And then Nick Dorsey said, holy shit, the watermelon disrespect.
Look, let me tell you something. I don't like grape. I was hazed in college with grape, grape and orange Jubilee Mad Dog. These bastards would heat it up and we would have to like chug Mad Dog. So grape Mad Dog, like I can't do it. Jolly Ranchers, I can't do it. I don't like grape soda or grape Gatorade. Yeah, I don't do grape stuff.
It's bad.
But grape Big League Chew, for whatever reason, is a clear W for me.
So they obviously don't use the same fake formula that these other companies are using for their
apparently
candies.
Not. Apparently,
because grape, you agree, grape is normally the worst flavor of anything.
I don't like grape normally. Grape Big League Chew, I love. For the minute and a half that it's
because
actually you can taste
grape
it.
Flavor.
And then it becomes a rock in your mouth.
Grape flavor does not taste like grapes. None of these flavors taste like the actual thing they
watermelon flavor, Andrew, doesn't taste like watermelon.
I'd say the watermelon flavor Big League Chew tastes more like watermelon than the grape.
I wouldn't know because all I do is grape because it's the best.
All I do is grape. I want that grape drink. Give me that purple stuff. All right. Thank you, Bob.
I'm glad that.
Sorry to interrupt the closing.
No, that we had to. I forgot about that. That was
probably the most important part of the podcast. Was the
it really was
the flip.
And original. Everybody, I feel like people default to original. You know, it's like whatever. Original's not.
I gotta go do a taste test because I haven't had any of this in many years. So I can't even tell you the last time I had grape. I'm intrigued now because there's obviously the people have spoken. They're not going to lie. Normally, I don't like grape flavor, but I'll give it a shot.
And let me tell you what. When
where
it does
do you
hit
find
you,
Big League
it's
Chew?
Like, it is. There's a lot. There's a lot of flavor in the beginning. And I don't know. They never really worked out the timing mechanism with the flavor.
14
seconds.
It's
like a Willy Wonka thing. Yeah. It just hits you at once. Like you chew it. And like as soon as your saliva hits the gum. Yeah. It's just explosion. All gone. Yeah, you're like drinking the grape flavor and it's delicious. And you have a sugar rush. And then it just becomes literally like a rock in your mouth. You're like,
putty.
Oh my God, the next day you wake up and my jaw is just like killing me.
I think Judge said too, he doesn't spit out his gum until he like strikes out or something like that. So that if he's chewing that gum all day.
What happens
I'm wondering if there's
load
management on the jaw. That's a dislocated jaw potentially if it's Big League Chew. They have bazooka buckets in the.
They're all just bazooka chewing tobacco in there, though, right? Yeah, bazooka's terrible.
Bazooka, I mean, it's fine. There's only times that I would.
I'm not a big
gum.
I'm not a big gum guy. You want to do another 20 minutes on gum? Like, let's do it.
Yeah, we're definitely going to do a taste test with the Big League Chew, but and not to mention just like the way that they did this in the sleeves. Genius. Genius.
It was the coolest thing ever as a kid.
Yeah. And it was those,
where did you get that?
The battered Bastards of Baseball or whatever it was, that that Portland independent league team. That's where it came out.
Where did you buy that?
Amazon.
Oh.
It's been sitting in a warehouse in
Amazon
China
fulfillment
for
center
20 years.
What's the expiration on that bad boy? Okay. Can we end the podcast now? Yeah, Do we have voicemails today, Bob?
We have a few from throughout the week.
We're going to run them. Enjoy the voicemails. Call the voicemail line, 646-480-0342. You know, the Yankees won a bunch of games this week, so fewer people called. Funny how that
people
works
only
out.
Call when they dump, when shit happens.
I feel like against Houston, though, win or lose, some shit's going to go down this week. Tuesday night, first game with fans in the stands against Houston, 646-480-0342. Call up now. Tell us how much you fucking hate the Houston Astros. We're going to play them. Maybe we'll play them midweek. I don't know. I can't commit to that.
I just put the Big League Chew back in my mouth, just so you know, from when I took it out earlier. Flavor's
same
still there.
Big League Chew?
Maybe this is a hack. Got chewed a little bit. Get it stimulated. Take it out. Come back to it.
I've never heard of that, by the way.
I've never heard of it either. I just invented it right now.
So it was sitting next to you for an hour.
Yep.
Got to expose it to the fresh air.
And it's not as hard after it was exposed to the fresh air for an hour that it is going to be in about 20 seconds.
You disgust me. Bye, guys.
Believe it or not, George isn't at home. Please leave a message at the beep.
I must be out or I pick up the phone.
Where could I be? Believe it or not, I'm not home.
I'm going to have a goddamn aneurysm with this team. I don't understand how many games we need to lose for Brian Cashman to lose his job. Giancarlo Stanton is making $30 million a year. He can't even pick up a glove. What is going on? Aaron Boone doesn't know how to build a lineup. The Red Sox are hitting .276, and the best hitter in our lineup is Gio Urshela. Gleyber Torres is hitting .206. He's better than five guys on that team. Rougned Odor is your cleanup guy? Are you fucking kidding me? This team sucks. We got to figure it out. The best thing we can hope for is to be a wild card team now. And guess what? We're going to blow Gerrit Cole in game one, and we're going to have no pitching for the ALDS, and we're going to lose again in the ALDS. That's the best case scenario with this team. I'm sick of it. I'm sick of it. If this team isn't what it takes to fire Brian Cashman, I don't know what I'm going to do. I hate that guy.
Yo, it's your boy Enrique, the captain of the BP crew, South Florida. How about them Yankees, baby? Can we play like this every night, please? Aaron Judge bombing, Rougned Odor bombing, Gerrit Cole throwing gas. This is what I'm talking about. Elijah, what you think about that win?
Awesome! Go Yankees!
Hey, Pinstripers, this is Eric from Syracuse, and took care of business against the worst team in the majors. Good job. Some pitching notes. I think Cole actually had a shot to go for Guidry's strikeout record Friday. He should have pulled a stone-cold stunner on Boone and went back out there and did the complete game. And for today's game, as much as I hate Tyone, I love Kluber. Keep it up, boys.
Hey guys, thanks for listening to the Bronx Pinstripe Show. Make sure you find us on iTunes and subscribe so you can get all new episodes directly onto your phone. If you do like the show, we'd love for you to take a minute and give us a 5-star rating and review in iTunes. It really helps us out and allows us to create more shows. We're on Twitter at Bronx Pinstripes and the same on Facebook. You can always find us there talking Yankee baseball. Thanks again, guys, for your support. Really appreciate it. And go Yankees.